people have kids. I can't believe that we had four and somehow survived. But he has been with us, and we've enjoyed every moment. And the only difference is he's a little louder than he used to be and a little heavier than he used to be. But he is truly a joy. Well, it's hard to believe that it's actually 2021. And for many of us, 2021 was an incredibly difficult year. And when I think about it, I think about how many good people our church lost in this last year. It started with Betty Prince, and then it just, in the last year, the last couple months, losing Squirt and Gene and Mr. Bates. It's been a tough year. And, you know, the thing about it as a Christian and as a pastor, our plans, I don't know if you remember it, but our plans completely were altered. I remember we were about to go into April with a pig fest. We had this big community-wise pig roast that we were going to do, and we were excited about it. And then all of a sudden, you know, people were talking about the shutdown. And we had to make a decision, so we just decided to cut the pig fest. We had the artwork, we were ready to go. And that pig fest was supposed to be something we had for our community, and but we had to stop. We had to stop worship. We had to stop Sunday school. We had to stop Wednesday nights. I mean, it was the craziest time I've ever been a part of as a pastor. We had to cancel our mission trip. It was a time of uncertainty. But slowly we restarted things. We started, you know, by adding worship outside. Everybody remember that? That was a lot of fun. We kind of came out of that with the idea that we need to have a venue outside where we can worship outside in the air. And so we've got some plans. And hopefully in the next couple years, maybe that'll be a reality. Who knows? But we met out underneath the trees. You know, everybody would find a tree, bring their lawn chair. I mean, you know, we were desperate to worship. And the outside part was great until it got hot. And then it would seem, I remember the last time we did it, we had the stage down on this end of the lot. And about the time I got up, the sun was full blast, and I felt like I was getting roasted. But, you know, we did meet. And then we decided, okay, because we're all thinking, right, this is just going to be a little bit longer, remember? Just going to be a little bit longer. So we'll meet in the gym, because the gym gives you a more of a spread out feeling. And so, at the time I was like, oh, we'll build this stage. But I thought, man, that's kind of expensive. We're not going to need it that long, you know, because we had to carpet it. We did it right. And guess what? We're still in here, you know. And I'm glad we went ahead and spent the money, because I'm cheap. And we spent the money and built the platform. But anyway, we started meeting in the gym and added a couple things. We added a men's fellowship. I think the men were more anxious than the women. And so we started meeting on Monday nights about 6 o'clock and having food. And I think our top number of men were 28. And, you know, it's kind of like, oh, goodness, there's a pandemic, I know, but we're hungry. And we men are more relational than you ladies think. We just, you know, we were about to go crazy, so we started that, and then the ladies started their Sunday at 5 o'clock time to be together. And, you know, 2020 just kind of cooked along. I think one of the major guest that I have seen in 2020 that I don't like, that has been here in our church, is fear. You know, all of a sudden we're hit with this fear of dying, which I've tried to understand it. It's a reality I ought to live with every day. You know, I can die any day, any time of anything. And I saw fear start to come in, and you know, all of a sudden, you know, being around people, some people are fearful of that. My pastor friends, we've been extremely concerned about whether people will allow the fear to keep them ever from coming back to worship publicly again. Some of my pastor friends, we've kind of laughed about selective fear. You know, it's kind of a thing, I mean, I'm just being honest, it's kind of a thing, if you don't want to go to church, you can say, I don't want to go to church because I might get the virus. And that would be great, except if you go to a restaurant, you might get the virus. Let me tell you, living in fear and going to eat out, I remember going to Newt's. Not that they all do, but the person didn't have that nose covered the whole time that I talked to him. So fear has been here. And we need to understand that fear is not a healthy thing at all. For me personally, it was an incredible year of loss. 2020, I lost my mom, the last of the family. That's tough. I didn't realize it at the time, but losing your mom is a big deal. Matter of fact, we were in Houston on our trip, and that's tough going back to Houston because that's where I said goodbye. We drove by the hospital where I had to tell her bye, and so I know about loss. Also know about hope, but I'll tell that later. I lost my mother-in-law, not of COVID, but of a thing called death. It was tough. A lot of loss. My daughter-in-law, who I love and treasure, Liam's mom, lost her mom. She retired and unfortunately passed because of a brain infection. 2020 was tough. It really was. But I don't want to discount, it was incredibly good too. Some of the good things I want to share with you as a church. First of all, Brent and his family coming to our church has been one of the great blessings. An incredible blessing. I felt sorry for them because they came here in January sometime, wasn't it? And just getting rocking, and guess what? We completely cancel everything, you know. I look at 2020 and they were one of the blessings for our church. Here's another blessing. We went international. We went international. We started doing this thing called Facebook Live. And Greg Ray has done such an incredible, and his team of guys he's got over here, I don't know how he gets them to show up on Sunday morning to do these things, but Lucian and Dakota, they've done a great job of. But literally, at our Christmas Eve service, we had a lady, my mother-in-law's friend, watching and worshiping with us in Italy. And my father-in-law will be watching this morning from Atlanta. We've had people in California. We've had people in, is it South Dakota or North Dakota? One of the Dakotas, South Dakota. And we do the Facebook Live thing, which I thought was just going to be for a week or two. But I think we'll pretty much keep it and try to improve it. We also are 98.3 FM radio. That's, you know, we're now in the radio business. And this morning, some of our wonderful people who can't be here are able to listen if they live in the city limits. We started the men's fellowship and had 28, I think, for our high. We started the women's fellowship. We added drums. We have added guitars. We've added praise teams. And during Christmas, and one of the things even before late November, we made a decision. We want young people being a part of our worship service, playing their instruments, and they did that. If you were here on Christmas Eve or any other time in December, you got to hear some really good music, not by the old people, but by from young people. And one of the things Bob and I have talked about, and the rest of the musicians, is we want to involve them in the worship as much as adults. And I consider that a very, very, very positive thing. A positive thing is we completed VBS. It was the hardest thing to ever do. We canceled it in the summer, then we started it, then we canceled it, then we started it, and we finished. And people say, well, y'all just finished it. Yeah, I don't like to start something and not finish. And I didn't care if I was going to be the only one here. We're going to finish Vacation Bible School. And we did. Christmas Eve, we had over 100 people in here. Probably the neatest memory I have of Christmas Eve, besides the kids that were here, and that's always a special thing to me, was there was a FedEx guy in the back. And was that what he was, Brent? And he had read our sign. Brent thought he was delivering something and went back there and he said, no, I have a break. And he sat back there and worshiped with us. He saw it on the sign on Christmas Eve. Ozone started back with our youth on Monday nights. And we've had, I think, 30-something is about the average. Financially, y'all have given tremendously to this church. And I'm very grateful for this. For me personally, besides losing my parents, my mom, and my mother-in-law, my daughter, many of you don't know, struggled with infertility. And it was in 2020 that she got pregnant. And it's incredible joy that came out of a very difficult and dark time. But the question is, what now? What now for 2021? I've chosen a word for our church, and I've chosen a word for my personal life, because I think sometimes it helps to choose a word for your church to kind of wrap your arms around with and believe. And here's the word for 2021. Forward. Forward. The church in 2021 has to go forward. Enough of the pausing and enough of the counseling. We have to understand that as the church, we're the only hope for the community. We're the only hope for the world. And we have to go forward. Now, let me put out a PSA, public service announcement. If you're compromised health-wise, we don't want you here. We don't expect you to be here. But as the church, we've got to be here and go forward. The church has always been a part of difficult times. And we need to understand that we go forward, and we need to go forward with confidence. I want you to notice, we didn't even know this. Greg and Sheila were out shopping, and Greg picked out a sign that just happened to be one of my verses for 2021. And if you look above Mary and Joseph's head when you go out that door to the right, you will find this scripture, Joshua 1:9, that said, "This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord is with you wherever you go." And as we head into 2021, we've got to understand that we're not alone. We can't be depressed. I mean, 2020, God allowed it to happen. We can either glorify Him in it or complain about it. 2021's here. The slate is clean. So we as the church have to go forward. Now, here's the problem with life. And I've watched this in churches everywhere. It is so easy to get sidetracked. I mean, it is so easy to get caught up in what's going on over here and over here that you forget your mission, that you forget what you're called to do as the church. In Proverbs 4, I love these three verses. Proverbs 4, verse 25 through 27 says this: "Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil." I think one of the most important things in going forward as a church is that we don't get sidetracked. I feel like my year of this stuff has kind of been like missing a lot of stuff. And it has, because we've had to cancel so much. And it's real easy to get sidetracked and not to see the beauty of what God is giving us in 2021. And yes, there's a vaccine coming. And that's a good thing. But we need to be going forward as it all comes together. The church cannot stop. Well, it can, but it should never stop going forward, reaching people, making a difference. I looked back at my journal, and my goals last year, right before this happened, I write them down, and what I've been praying for and working for is I just really believe that God wants us to have 200 in worship. That goal still is in my heart, to have 200 people in this little bitty mountain town called Mount Ida worshiping together on Sundays. And I have as another goal to have 120 people in life groups studying God's Word, being together, because I really believe that's possible. You may think I'm crazy, but I don't. And we need to understand that we need to go forward. And we need to continue to do a couple things we were going to start doing. If you're on the dream team and if you've been a part of that in the past, two things we've already identified that we need to do that God has blessed us financially is we need to do some remodeling on the children's area upstairs where the children meet, because children are the future of this church. And so there's some things that we need to do. And then the other thing we've already identified is the youth room. We've kind of shut them back in there on Wednesday nights, and we need to get to work. And so we're going to be meeting together in the near future and making the youth room and the children room a better environment, and because it needs to happen. We also need to understand that we need to be driven into 2021 not by fear, not by the past. You know, I had no desire to go back to the way we used to do church. Because it's past. Church is changing. But here's what I want to be guided by in 2021. Scripture. Baptists are big about being people of the book, the Bible. And so I want us to look at some core verses as we head into 2021. The first one is one that you've heard a million times. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Verses 18 through 20. It's called the Great Commission. Dallas Willard, one of the great writers of the Christian faith, said this: "For most church, it's not the Great Commission, it's the Great Omission." And I would have to agree with him. If it's easy as a church to forget that this is the mandate that God gives us. It's a beautiful thing. It's the last thing that Jesus said to his disciples. He said this: "I have been given authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." It's called the Great Commission. Most churches have it hanging up somewhere. But there's a big difference between knowing it and being it and doing it. And there's three participles that describe the process. The first one is the word go. Literally in the Greek, it's going. As you're going to work, as you're going to the grocery store, as you're going, you are to be making disciples. In other words, you ought to be looking for opportunities to share your faith. You see, what we have is called good news. And as we're going, we ought to be sharing the good news with those who are around us. It's being the church. It's being evangelistic. Now, I'm not talking about knocking on doors because, quite honestly, that doesn't always work. The most effective tool is as you go and as you develop friendships, you develop those friendships wherever you may go so you may tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. He used another participle, baptizing. It is important to be a part of a church. We're Baptists. We believe in immersion, not for salvation, but for identification. You see, there are people literally around the world who have been imprisoned and even killed because they've been baptized. It does not say, my dad's a Methodist. We had this battle 1,000 times. He said, Bill, baptism, you think I have to be baptized to be saved? I'd say, no, Dad, I don't. I'm just saying it means to dip. It means to go under. And it identifies you. And let me tell you, baptism is a beautiful thing. It's the first sermon you ever will preach. One of the troubles is we don't baptize enough. It is important to realize that it identifies you. I remember studying Baptist history and a guy named Zwingli and different ones who believed in immersion. They were killed. Simply because they believed that was biblical. And that's why we immerse. But that's a participle. Going, baptizing, and then here's the kicker. Teaching them to obey. You see, a lot of times we think of church and Bible study is gathering information. You're not to study the Bible to get information. You're to study it to develop a relationship with the Holy God. And you know, one of the mistakes we make sometimes is teaching the stories without teaching about how to live it. I love it the way the New Living Translation translates. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. Application. But that's a participle. There's those three. Going, baptizing, teaching. But there's only one command. And the only command is make disciples. How do you do that? You do it by going, you do it by baptizing, and you do that by teaching. You see, we lose a lot of people because they make a profession of faith, but we don't teach them anything else. I mean, people get excited about baptism, but I certainly do. But what really excites me is when that person comes to know Christ and they start growing on their own and they start sharing on their own. It becomes good news to them and they begin to share it. We are to make disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. You either are or you aren't. So we are to help young people, children, youth, adults, to be disciples, to follow Christ. It's imperative in 2021 that is what drives us. It ought to drive everything we do. Wednesday nights, when we meet on Wednesday nights, our whole goal ought to be to make disciples. When we meet on Sunday mornings, it ought to be to make disciples. It's a process, and it's so incredibly important. Not only just to make disciples, but help disciples learn how to make disciples. You see, everybody is amazed by the spread of this virus. Okay? You know how it happens? It's a picture of discipleship. I take the germ and I give it to Sheila. And then Sheila gives it to Greg and Dakota. And then Lucian gets it from Dakota. And then they give it to Brent. Brent takes it home. It's a sharing, and everybody is a part of the process. You see, the pastor is not the one who's to do the disciple making by himself. It's everyone. And this virus is deadly because it spreads so quickly. It's the same way with the good news. We've got to make disciples. You know, people say, well, I'm a good Sunday school teacher. Great. Are you making disciples? It's one of the areas I'm going to evaluate more in my own life, because what good is it to give you information if we're not doing anything with it? If we're not serving, if we're not going, if we're not doing... Discipleship is our command. Now, here's the second thing. The great commandment. In Matthew chapter 22, if you want a verse that can motivate your new year, Matthew 22, beginning in verse 37, you have the two important commandments. They came to Jesus and they said to him, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" Here's his reply. "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul in all your mind." In 2021, I want to challenge you to fall in love with Jesus. To love God, not some of the time, but all of the time. To have a love. It says to love Him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. That's a command. And we need to understand, to be the church, which you and I are the church, we've got to love God with our whole being. That is the way to be effective. And then he says, a second is equally as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love. Man, I'll tell you what. 2020, I didn't see a whole lot of love in the world. It wasn't a... Did you? 2020 was a lot of unrest, and yet the commandment is that we are to love one another. The great commandment. It's just as important. One and two go together. So we have to be have the Great Commission. We've got to obey the great command, which is to love God and love others. And then here's a third thing that I really want you to think about in 2021. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 11, it says, "Now these are the gifts that Christ gave the church. The apostles," literally the sent ones, "the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers." Literally, pastor, teacher, they go together. Then listen to this. In other words, God gave us these gifts. He's given some who are prophets, who speak for God. He's given evangelists. He's given missionaries. But then He's given pastor, teachers. But all of them have this responsibility. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do whose work? His work. To do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Listen, it is my prayer is that in 2021 that I will do my part to equip you to do your work. Listen, I keep trying to get seeds out there, right? I want our men's group to do some really big things for God in our community. But I don't want to do it. I want to equip them to do it and go, yay, go, get them. People will come, "Pastor, we need to start this ministry." And you know what my reply will be? "Good. When are you ready to do it?" Because my job's not to do your ministry, it's to equip you to do your ministry. And as we go into 2021, I want us to be thinking, what is it that God wants to do new at First Baptist Mount Ida? What new ministry do we need to start? You say, well, we have all these other ministries. Well, we need to do what God wants us to do. You see, I look at 2021 as an opportunity to set people. I remember the old way Baptists used to do it. You had to go through almost a pat-down screening to figure out if you could do anything. You know, it wasn't very user-friendly. How many of you have been pat down? You know, you had to be a member of the church for 100 years, and you had to know the right people on the right committees, and you know what I'm talking about? And then they give you okay, you can do it. Maybe we're going to put 5 people on you, make sure you're not a heretic and all that stuff. I've been a Baptist a long time. Here's what I'm thinking. And you know me, I'm already like this. Let's just do it. You come with me a good idea, I'll say, okay, well, give me a plan. Recruit some people and let's do it. You say, well, that's not Baptist. I'm more biblical than I am Baptist. And I look at, what are we going to do in 2021? We may do a pig feast too. I don't know. I've already talked to the men about doing a retreat for young boys, taking them out and do things like that. You think I'm going to be able to do that? I can barely start a fire with matches, you know? It's kind of like, I'm going to teach the kids how to be real men in the woods. We know that isn't going to happen. But I think we live out here in this beautiful part of the world. Let's use it. A lot of these kids that live here don't even know they live in a beautiful place. You know what I mean? You know, we talked about musically. I'd love to have more in the band, have more of a... I mean, sky's the limit. The only qualification is that you kind of can sing. I say kind of. And you kind of can play an instrument. And I mean, quit giving me your excuses. Use your talents. And let's make 2021 fun. Because it definitely needs to be. I'm tired of the other part. So start thinking, what can we do in 2021 to reach people for Christ and to make a difference? Because I believe that's the way God wants to do it. But then this one is crucial. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Turn to Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. I double-checked this to be sure, because I wanted to be sure I did it accurately. You know, context is everything. And the book of Hebrews was being written to a group of Christians who were being persecuted for their faith. Okay? I get a little history tidbit every day. And yesterday, one of the ancient... Roman rulers ordered the execution of hundreds of people just because they knew Christ. So following Christ should not always be safe. And in Hebrews 24 and 10, 24 and 25, these people, what was happening is the Jewish people were turning on them. Originally, the Christians met with the Jewish people, but times were turning and they began to persecute. And so what was happening is they were not meeting together anymore. And so in verse 24, he says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Part of meeting together is motivating each other to love and do good deeds. And anytime you meet together, you ought to be better together. He says, let us think of ways to fire. Listen, here's what happens. When you quit meeting with other Christians, trust me, the fire starts to go out. I'm not much of a griller, but in the old days, charcoal. Remember that? I remember that I'd get a little coffee can and I'd put all my charcoal in the coffee can and I put the fire stuff on here and I'd light it and I would get it going, get them red, and then I'd slowly pull up the coffee can and I'd try to keep the coals together, right? You didn't want them to go all out because guess what? It loses its heat. here's what I know about the importance of being together. When we're together, we're better. We have perspective. We have accountability. When you're on your own, you're dangerous, and so am I. You know, in the pandemic, you start losing your mind. When it was in the beginning, we weren't going anywhere or doing anything. I mean, we were losing our mind. You know, and the only person to check me was Julie. And if we wanted to both break the rules, we're going to vote it 100% whether it was safe or not safe. Because why? We're on the same team and we're in quarantine. Meeting together is better. And not only does it cause us to do love and good works, it says, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing together. You see, we need to be together because we motivate each other to be better and we encourage each other. Now, remember my disclaimer. If you're struggling with health issues, you don't need to meet with me or anybody else. And hopefully the vaccine will be here. But for those of us who are living life and trying to be safe, we need each other. And the Scripture is so important. We met this morning, and it was neat to me. We're doing a video by Louis Gigolo, and it was talking about evidence that Christ really lived. Not biblical evidence, but secular evidence. And you know, we were just talking about how all of us have run into people who don't believe that Jesus really lived. And yet, history shows that He did. And yet, the question people have is, did He really live? You see, we need those relationships, and those relationships make us better. Let me tell you what. Being by yourself leads to depression. I believe that's why we had so many men here on Wednesday night. Men don't like to talk about depression, so we didn't talk about it. We came and we met together. Why? It encourages. As we head into 2021, we've got to meet together if we are healthy enough to do that. They're going to have the vaccine maybe by March. But even, here's the question. Will we meet together after March? Or has being apart cooled the fire? That scares me. So the question is, will you move forward with us in 21? Several ways you can do that. First of all, if you don't know Jesus Christ, that's the most important thing. And I'd love to explain that to you. It's good news. And if you don't have Him, you don't have much hope in 2021 or 2022 or 2023. And if you ever have a question about how to know Christ, I'd love to talk to you about that. Maybe you've never been baptized. You say, well, how does that happen? Just let me know. You know, we still can go upstairs and baptize someone, or we can bring a trough in here. I don't care. But let's begin 2021 with the right aspect of being obedient. It doesn't save you. Understand that. Maybe you need to join our fellowship, and the way you do that is by statement. If you're in a church and you've been immersed and it's not a Baptist church, statement or letter, if you're in a Baptist church or baptism. Do you have a ministry? Are you involved in a small group? Listen, I want 2021 to be the best year for all of us. And the only way to do that is to follow the Scripture. And the Scripture says, make disciples, obey the commandments, meet together, and make a difference. So let's make a difference. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for our church, and I thank You for what You're going to do. Lord, it's been a tough year. A lot of difficult things, a lot of sad things, a lot of pain, a lot of hurt. But I don't know where I'd be without the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. Father, I look forward to 2021, and it will be hard too, because that's just part of living. But I know that you're with me, and I know that you will guide us as we depend on you. Father, may this be the best year this church has ever seen, and may all the glory go to you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of announcements.